We are winding down our series on the Holy Spirit, right? We've got 2 weeks left before we come into our Sabbath Sunday and kind of turn the page on this season we've been doing. Next week, Pastor Alex Chang is going to be with us. Many of us know Alex from, that's nice. Yes, thank you, Anita. I like it. Hey, Anita, you just talk back to me the whole day, okay? I appreciate it. You bring it, okay? I like it. So Alex is going to be with us next week, so please join us for that. He's going to kind of give us some final thoughts, but also his personal experience with being led by the Holy Spirit, and so we look forward to that. But today, because this will be my last time to kind of share with you on the Holy Spirit, I just want to kind of give you my final thoughts, just kind of as we wrap up this series. And we're going to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and look, and we've been in that passage, that chapter, that for a long time. The words of our scripture are in your bulletin, but if you have your Bible, I just encourage you to turn there as well. And this is just kind of some final thoughts just as we wrap up sort of the bits and pieces that we want to cover as we begin to think about moving forward in our life with the Holy Spirit. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, "What then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together, each of you has a hymn, or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation?" Or Anita's words, that's nice, you know. We all bring something, is what he's saying. And then he says, everything must be done so that the church may be built up. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. Now, this is kind of in the middle of Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, which we've spent some time on. And if you've missed a couple Sundays and haven't gone back and listened to the messages, we encourage you to do that on our website. But this is a church, if you read 1 Corinthians, it's got all sorts of problems. It has a lot of problems. You thought our church was bad, right? Just wait to read about the Corinthians, the church in Corinth. It has a lot of problems, but at the same time, what we see is that the Holy Spirit had room to move. The Holy Spirit had freedom to blow, to move in ways that were really powerful, really amazing. And, you know, we want to kind of be that kind of church as well. But notice four things. I want you just from that one passage, I want you to notice four things from that one verse. Okay, the first thing is this, is that the church would regularly come together as a family. The church would regularly come together as a family, right? Paul writes there, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters, or sisters and brothers, or in other words, what shall we say, family? And he writes, when you come together, not if, but when you come together. Now, we don't know a lot about the church in Corinth. We know that early on in the letter, we read about a few house churches here and there, but we're not sure if the church grew and maybe there was a couple hundred or maybe even 1,000 people. We're not sure if they met in a big sanctuary or, you know, somebody's big courtyard once a week, or if they met in smaller house churches all around. We're not exactly sure. But as we read through the letters, we kind of process it. One thing we begin to realize, or we think, is that it probably wasn't much different than what we have here today. Maybe a few dozen folks getting together for worship weekly, a couple dozen. But whatever we know that Paul viewed that group of people like a family, like sisters and brothers who would come together. So everyone, the church would come together regularly as a family. Secondly, everybody had a part to play. Everyone had a part to play. Paul writes, each of you has a hymn, has a lesson, has a revelation. There weren't just one or two people kind of up on stage, and then the rest of the people were just sort of watching. Everybody was participatory. So, Anita, I was sort of making fun of you there, but I wasn't, because that was it, right? You brought encouragement through your words. Okay, and in some traditions, people talk back during the sermon a lot more as well. Sometimes, you know, they tell the preacher, they're like, let's finish up, preacher, let's go, come on, get to the point, you know. So, exactly. So, I might have to rebuke some of your words, but for the most part, keep them coming, okay? So, it's not just one person, but the understanding is every person, every woman, every man, maybe even every child in the church in Corinth, they had a part to play. Church was collaborative, it was participatory, it was active. Number three, notice that people came ready. He says, each of you has, it's in the present tense, meaning now, a hymn, a word, an instruction, revelation, meaning, hey, you come to church and you're ready to go. You're ready to go. You know, okay, so Anita, you say, I have a hymn. I want, you know, I've been working on a song this week, right? And John's been encouraging me to kind of sing it to the church. And so you bring your hymn, you know, and Linda, you say, I got this revelation that came to me. And so, you want to bring that revelation. And then Tess, you know, I don't know, you're a little weird. No, I'm just kidding. So I'm just kidding. We go, okay, hey, you can go, not so sure here. And so we all kind of bring something, right, into this thing. People came to church what we might call in the spirit, right? Later on in the New Testament, Revelation, John says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. That was a phrase that he used. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And so a question I want to ask us is, when we show up on the Lord's day, are we showing up in the spirit? Are we showing up in the spirit, ready to do what, sort of in tune with the power and the presence of God deep in our being, ready to go? Are we coming already in the spirit? See, I think for most of us, or maybe some of us, sometimes we come to church to get into the spirit. Right? You know, it's kind of, maybe we've had a tough week, it's been a hard week, and we're sort of out of tune with the Spirit, and so we kind of recognize that, we feel it, and so, you know, we say, hey, it is a beautiful day, and I would love to go down to LBI, or, you know, it'd be such a good day for a hike, or maybe we'd go up, take the train, go up to New York City, but man, I do kind of feel out of tune, so I'm going to come to church, and I'm going to maybe get connected with God and reconnect with God in that way. And that's fine. That's fine. But if you come to church not in the spirit, if we're using this language, you come to church and, you know, it's been an overbusy weekend, you haven't spent any time in the scriptures, you haven't been praying at all, maybe you were up late last night watching something you probably shouldn't have been watching, or you were on your Twitter or Instagram or on the news all morning with your phone, you know, you come in a little anxiety, maybe you did a little shopping on Amazon right before you came in, you know, or whatever, and you kind of come in sort of distracted and sort of, you know, you're kind of out of your body. If that's your posture, if that's sort of your state of mind when you walk through these doors, I mean, first of all, let me say, that's fine. We're happy you're here. Please hear me. We're happy you're here. We want you here. I come in sometimes like that. But that will profoundly limit, I think. And it will sort of shrink your experience with God in this space. Now, it's not because of God. It's not because God's like, you were on Amazon, or, you know, you were watching that movie last night, and so I'm not going to be in your presence. It's not about that. God's with us 24/7, right? Wherever we go, whatever we do, if we're in the spirit, if we're out of the spirit, we talked a couple weeks ago about holiness. If we're being holy or we're not being holy, whatever that looks like, God's not the problem here. But because of us, it's hard to sort of detox that, what the Bible often calls the world, from our minds and from our hearts, right? And so if we're not coming into this space to be in tune and to be ready, then we may miss what God has for us in this space. So the Corinthians, they came in ready, and I think that's why, you know, we talk about on Sunday, I know it can be busy morning and a lot of us are serving and doing different things, but maybe even just spending a few minutes before we get here, just with the Lord, not waiting to get here with the Lord. Number four, and finally, the people came ready to give, not just take. Each of you has a hymn, a word, a revelation, a prophecy, right? A word of instruction, he's saying. And the point is, everyone was there to give. They had something to contribute, something to pitch in, is what we see from this church in Corinth. So the church in Corinth, right, it's got a lot of issues, we said. You can read that in the rest of the book. But it's not boring. I mean, that's not one problem this church has. This church is lively. This church is active. This church, the Spirit of God is moving. People are bringing gifts and experiences and sharing a word, and all that stuff's happening. And so the question is, what is one way? How do we become more like the Corinthians church, the church in Corinth? Not all the things, but how do we do some of the things? Are we open to the Spirit in the way that the church in Corinth was? Well, I think there's two things for Kairos to become this kind of church. We have to tackle two problems head on. The first problem that we have to tackle is the problem of consumerism. Look, we're 2023, Central New Jersey. We all have Amazon on our phones. You know, we were born into sort of a consumeristic world, right? The entire economy, one might argue, is sort of based off of goods and services, buying and selling in that way. You know, you might remember right after 9/11, one of the things that the president said a number of very important, very good things, but one of the things that was said, as people, we were trying to think about healing from this experience and how to move on, one of the things that was sort of thrown out there was, hey, you know what we need to do as a nation? We need to get back to the mall. We need to go to Disney. In other words, we need to start buying and selling things. We can't let this experience, we need to kind of move forward. And one thing that was sort of encouraged was going back to this sort of consumerism that's there. Now, for whatever that's worth, you know, I think it just speaks to the fact that it's in the air that we breathe. It's in the air that we breathe. And truthfully, we're blind to sort of how dark and nasty sometimes consumerism is. Maybe not even sometimes. And see, we bring this heart posture into the church. We often ask this question, what can I get out of it? What can I get out of it? So we say, hey, look, the message is too short. Well, you guys don't say that. You might say, the message is too long, right? The message is too long. Our worship was to this, or it was to that. Why don't we have a little more of this, or a little less of that? Or, you know, the people are too unfriendly. Or, man, these people are too friendly. They always talk to me when I come here, you know, at Kairos. Or, man, they're always texting me when I'm not in church. And they're asking, where were you? It's like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to. Yeah, you're laughing because you probably got one of those texts, you know. That song, where were you last week? You know, we try to do that sometimes. So, right, you know, it's to this, it's to that. And it's sort of how we think. And look, I'm not attacking you any more than I'm speaking to myself too. Because I live, Lisa, that was a loud right there, you know. No, thank you. I'm with you, Pastor. Let's go, right? Come on, keep it coming. Right, I'm in this too, okay? I'm in this too. I feel it too. I swim in, I breathe the air. A lot of Christians, you ever heard that phrase, well, I'm fed here? You know, I'm fed here. Well, why'd you leave that church? Well, I wasn't fed there. Well, why are you at this church? Well, I'm fed. Well, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? I don't really want you to go away fed. I kind of would rather you go away hungry and thirsty for more of God in your life. I'd rather you go away with this desire to live out the gospel in your neighborhood, in your community. You know, if you walk out the door, for lack of a better term, fat and hungry, then I'm not doing my job. I'm not a pastor, I'm a butcher, right? I mean, I don't want that. My job is not to fatten us up, to feed us in that way. My job is to teach us, and maybe in a sense, but to help us in joining the Holy Spirit together so that we can go live this thing out on mission. And then sort of kick us out the door, if you will, right? Kick us out the door. One of our core principles of this church was never to, let's be in the door five, I don't want you at church 3, 4, 5, 6 times a week. I want you out in the community. I want you to, yes, let's come together, but then let's go out and let's live it in our neighborhood. And then, so that's one reason, friends, we do Kairos communities, we do cohorts, we have other ways of summer with Kairos, other ways to stay connected, because community is sort of at war with this God of individualism, and missions at war with the God of consumerism, as we think about this. Community is at war with the God of individualism, and mission is at war with the God of consumerism. This is more fun when you guys talk back, okay? So keep it coming. Let's go. Come on, Anita. You're losing out here, you know? You got it. Come on, let's go. Come on. Hmm. It's kind of the opposite of the American dream. To give our life away in a self-sacrificial love for the good of our neighbor, for the good of our neighborhood, to love our city, and not alone, though, not just on our time, not just when we want it, but when we're also to do it in the community, right? When the community's texting and calling you in the middle of the night or at different times, right? But this is sort of the way of Jesus. The way of Jesus is this way of coming together and being sacrificial, and it flies in the face of consumerism. That's one reason why we, and this isn't to say something negative about other churches, but one reason we try to stay away from, we're not perfect at it, but we try to stay away from the wording church services, right? We try to call this more of a gathering. You know, just a little bit of nuance in the wording there. But, you know, the idea is that this isn't a store where you come and receive the goods and services of Jesus or whatever that is, right? This is not a service. This is a family. People to our left and to our right, we're sisters and we're brothers. So I don't want us to think of the church as a restaurant. You know, it's not like a bagel shop, you know? We all kind of have our favorite bagel shop, right? You know, some of us like Bagel Market, or Bagel Nook, or Bagel Basket, right? Bagel Basket. All right, you a Bagel Basket person? Why? Okay. Wow. How about Bagel Bazaar up in North Brunswick? I mean, right? There's a lot of different bagel shops, and you know, you kind of pick one based off of what you like, you know, your preference, maybe who's at the counter, you know, the different things, right, about these bagels, and that's fine for a bagel shop, right? That's fine for a bagel shop, but this isn't a bagel shop. Right? This is the church. This is the family of God, and so you know, there are times you love your family. And there are times, my mom listens to this, so there are times you don't like your family as much. Love you, Mom. But we're a family, and so we're here, and we do this together, and in either way, we are a family together. Now, I don't think a lot of us, though, I mean, maybe some of us here, but I think in general, this is just not how we often think about the church, and I think because of that, the church often has very little effect on us. Mark Sayers is a pastor, he's an author, he wrote a book called The Vertical Self, maybe 5 or 10 years ago, and he writes this in his book. He says, "The elephant in the living room of contemporary Christianity is people's ability to simply sit in church, to consume the experience the way one would a thrilling sporting event, a good movie, or an exciting theme park ride, and to dispose of it, totally unchanged, at the soul level as they would leave the sanctuary. Sure, they might feel challenged, encouraged, or even moved, but the horizontal self simply feels the experience and moves on." He goes on to write that in the consumer-based church, this is what happens. He says, "Worship services become pseudo-media events. Church buildings become a theme park." Luckily, we don't really have that problem here, but, you know, hey, okay. He says the Christian leader becomes a Christian celebrity. Teaching becomes entertainment. Salvation becomes self-help. Discipleship becomes lifestyle enhancement. The soul becomes self. Church becomes brand. The gospel becomes a slogan. Ouch. A slogan. And see, I'm not interested in giving my life to that. And I don't think you are either. And I wouldn't want you to. I don't want to ask you to give your life to that. That's not what we're chasing after here. But if we want to become the kind of church that Jesus had in mind, the one we read about in the New Testament, yes, problems, issues, absolutely, we're always going to have them because we are here. But one where the Spirit of God is moving, then we've got to kill consumerism. It's got to die. All of us. Number two. The second thing we have to tackle, just to kind of keep the mood light and happy, okay? We're doing good, right? Is what I would call sort of, it's more of an American obsession. A number of you have actually, I think, helped in this regard, just from different experiences and cultures, but it's this obsession with order. Okay, it's this obsession with order. The problem in the church in Corinth was not order. It was actually the opposite. There was spontaneity. There was not enough order. People were wild. They were out of control. We've got the opposite problem. We've got, I mean, maybe not today. I mean, you guys are talking back over here, you know, but you know, typically, right? At the end of the letter here, Paul writes, everything must be done decently in order, and we kind of have that command down to a T. You know, we've got this order of service, and it says, okay, welcome, and stand up, and then once you stand up, okay, we're going to sing two songs, and then someone's going to come up and give the announcements, right? And Bosco, you got the script, you know what you're going to say, and then we do some teaching, and then, oh, but before that, we send our kids off, and then we have a little, you know, and then we kind of, okay, God bless you, we go home, right? We kind of know what to expect when we come here. I mean, we literally have an app for it on our phones, right? We have Planning Center services, which we love, which we really do love. And it can be helpful. But we can also take it to the extreme. And look, I like order, okay? We're going on vacation coming up, and in the day before, yesterday, we were packing, or we were getting, this was about a week ago, I sent Emily a calendar invitation that said, no, do not make any events, we are packing today, okay? Don't go get Starbucks with somebody or go out for a couple hours, so I have the kids, and then I can't pack the car. I said, no events, we're packing, right? You know, I'm like, I like order, I like structure, I want to know what the day's going to look like when I go. So that's to the extreme, but and I'm literally in therapy for that control freak nature right now, okay? So, you know, decency order, I like it, but I need some help. I don't like weird stuff that happens in the church. You know, sometimes there are some churches out there that do, like, you've maybe seen them or heard of them, you know, so we got to be careful here. But at the same time, and I've said this, and you've said this too, we all crave an experience with God. I crave this experience with God. And the truth is, and it's one thing I'm learning, God's not controllable. Yeah, the pastor has to learn that. God is not controllable. Can't boss God around. And most of the time, the Holy Spirit doesn't tell us, doesn't show up on Planning Center services. All right? It's not like Lisa and I are there on a Tuesday and we're like, the Holy Spirit comes and speaks to us and says, hey, I just need 3 minutes in the service. Can you just, between these songs, can you just give me 3 minutes? And we're like, yeah, but we only have 2.5 today. You know, it doesn't really work like that. Usually, the Holy Spirit works around us in some ways, right? The Holy Spirit, we've talked about this, the Holy Spirit is like a wind. He blows wherever he wants. We can't control him. And so when the Holy Spirit moves, it's a little messy. It's a little chaotic. It's not always on script. Bosco, I remember when we met 4 years ago, when we were sitting in Panera Bread down in Plainsboro, and you guys were sharing your life story. We hadn't even started the church or anything like that yet. You and Crystal just shared from some of your church experience. And it was more like, there was more spontaneity. There was less order. And you're sharing this with me, and I'm like, well, we ain't doing that here, you know. I'm like, yeah, Bosco, come on, you know, come, yeah. I'm like, yeah, let's see about that, right? I felt a little anxiety. I'm like, how long was that church service, did you just say, you know? But you've worked on me over these, you know, a couple years. Now, we have more to go. That's what I'm trying to say. But, you know, there are those of us in the room that want us to move more in this direction, allow the Holy Spirit to move and do what the Holy Spirit wants. I guess what I'm trying to say more than anything, friends, is we just want more of the Spirit of God in this place. Thank you. Yeah, amen. You know, more than just songs and sermons. We want more of God to show up. More of God's presence. We want more prophecy, as we've talked about. We want more healing to take place through people's prayers. We want people set free through the power and the presence of God. And more than that, I think we just want God's presence among us. We just want God. We just want to leave this place and be like, wow, God was in this place today. Not just, hey, I just showed up to church. And that's a good thing. There are times we just show up and we don't have to feel it all. But also we want times when we say, oh, God was in this place today. And so that's why we're going to be more willing to go off script. We're going to, you know, God's got to work on us, but we're going to be more willing to go off script. Now, if this makes you nervous, welcome to the club. You might remember early on in this series, I said, hey, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit for a couple months. Just hear us out. This could be weird. This could be different. But just hear us out. Hear us out. Now, I've got a different question because you've heard us for 4 months. The question I'm going to ask is, will you come along? You've heard us out. Now, will you come along? Will you step out on this journey with people on your right and on your left to move forward? And there's three shifts, I think, that we need to make as a church to make this stick to everything we've been learning about. Here's what they are. You can write them down. Three shifts to move forward. The shifts from theology to practice and from practice to culture. Theology to practice, practice to culture. Okay, so, you know, theology, right? That's what we've been doing in a sense. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We've been learning about the Holy Spirit, the person, the power, the presence. We did that, how do we operate in the Holy Spirit? Remember that power equation we did? It was talked about intimacy with God plus holiness plus faith equals power, right? You have to learn about these things, and that's good. Like, some of us, this is very new information, so we want to learn about it. I brought that book, that Gordon Fee book, like 1,000 pages, remember, on the Holy Spirit? You could read that book, all right? Now, some people are just crazy, and they read that book while they're on vacation. Pastor Lisa. Lisa comes back from vacation. I said, Lisa, how was vacation? Did you read anything while you're at the beach? She pulls out her Gordon Fee Holy Spirit book. How many pages did you read? Oh, okay. Now we're getting into more detail here. Yeah, better vacations, right. Well, I read Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University, on my honeymoon, so I don't know. You know, I get made fun of that a lot. But, it was the beginning of the honeymoon, so anyway, okay. Wow, this is, none of that is in my notes. So here we go. Okay, all right. Gordon Fee, thank you. Come on, keep me on track. Let's go. All right, so we've got to learn it, but that's not enough. Then we have to practice it, right? So you learn about prophecy, and then what do? You prophesy. You learn about speaking in tongues, and then you try to speak in tongues. Yeah, with God's Spirit, right? You're not forcing it. You learn about praying for healing, praying for people, and then you actually have to pray for someone for healing. So if we don't move from theology to practice, we get stuck in what some people call theologically charismatic, but functionally sort of a cessationist. We don't actually live it out, and that might be where some of us sort of practically are. You know everything there is to know, but you don't actually do anything about it. And we could all point to a different area of our lives, right, where we do that. We know what we should be doing, but we don't actually live it out. So I'm encouraged because I've seen us move in different ways in the last couple months, just taking small steps, little steps here and there to begin to practice these things. We want to keep doing that. I want to say I'm proud of it. I'm proud of us. I'm proud of you guys for what you've done. But God's got more for us. You know, we've got this saying here, we say it a lot, God didn't bring us this far to only bring us this far, right? We've got more to do. So, and then the third piece is move from practice to culture. So we've got to learn it, we've got to do it, and then we've got to do it so often and so regularly with so many other people that it just becomes kind of second nature. Just second nature. You know, no matter how hard something is, if you do it regularly, do it over and over and over again, it becomes second nature. And so we want that, the stuff of the Spirit, the stuff like listening to God's voice, like prophecy, like messages of wisdom, knowledge, praying for the sick, to kind of become normal. And if that's uncomfortable for you, again, welcome to the club. But the idea is we just want to kind of do this together. And it's not to say when it's so normal that when somebody walks in the door for the first time, you know, John's there like, okay, let's anoint you with oil and let's pray over your head. But if they come up for prayer, bam, we got the oil, let's go, you know, or whatever it is, right? We want to be ready. We want it to become normal. Okay, so a couple practical ways as we wind down here. excuse my having to drink some water today, but practical ways to move forward. A couple of different ways to pray. One's listening prayer. We've talked about this over and over and over again, listening prayer. The whole point of listening, the whole point of moving in line with the Spirit is to listen to the Spirit. So we have to listen. We've got to make space for God in our lives. When you read the scriptures, hopefully you're reading them, but then also you're listening. You're taking some space. Before you close the book, 5 minutes, hey, God, what do you want to speak to me right now from this passage? When you pray, hopefully you're talking to God just like you would talk to someone else, but also hopefully you be quiet and you listen like you're talking to somebody else, you know? When you're on a walk, when you're working, when you have a day off, whatever it is, in the midst of chaos, you're listening to God, okay? Learn to cultivate this. And, you know, the truth is you do this alone. We're going to do this more in church on a Sunday gathering, but often the best way to do this listening stuff and do this Holy Spirit stuff is in community together. So whether it's Kairos Communities that we've done in the past, Kairos Cohorts, whether it's a Summer with Kairos event where there's just food around, or, you know, we know each other now. So you guys get together, you do stuff. When we're together, that's a great opportunity to say, this is a safe space. Let's try this. Let's pray over one another. We might get it wrong, but that is a great spot to do that. Okay, number two is what we call pre-gathering prayer. Pre-gathering prayer. So on Sundays, we gather before we do the serve team, and we pray together. The truth is, Lisa and I, we've been talking about this. We want to emphasize that a little more. We want to emphasize less bagels and more prayer. We're going to kind of spend some time in this next season really focused on prayer during that time. So if you're on the serve team, we would say, hey, just make sure you're there on time, because we want to press into these things when we're praying. Not just, hey, let's pray and let's go. We want to press in, spend some time pressing into these things. If you're not serving that day, but you want to come early and pray, you're more than welcome to join us for that. Number three is come for prayer. Come for prayer. So in this next season, we want to emphasize what it looks like for after service to come up and have opportunities to pray. So we're going to kind of talk through that in the coming weeks about our prayer team and opportunities where we are praying for one another, maybe just after service instead of going to the back or leaving, you grab the person next to you and ask for prayer. We want to keep doing that. And then number four, we want to keep learning and keep practicing, right? It's not like after this series is over, everything we know about the Holy Spirit is done. No, it's sort of like taking driver's ed, right? We've learned what there is to learn, but now we actually have to go do it. And you know that when you start doing driver's ed, or when you leave driver's ed and then you start driving, there's a whole lot more that you learn along the way. Oh, I don't have to stop at this stop sign every time. Perfect. No, just kidding. Okay. Ah, yeah, Leo. Yeah, you better stop, bro. Sorry, Leo. Bad example. Bad example. We need to keep learning and keep growing. But here's the thing. We got to stay at this, because it could take years, really, for us to move in this. This is not just going to happen in weeks or months. This is going to take time for us. But this can't be a fad. We can't just say, oh, yeah, wasn't that nice? You know, didn't we do some, like, Holy Spirit series back, you know, in 2023? And that was a good time. No, this can't be a fad. We want God's power. We want God's presence in this church. It can't be a fad. We want to live in relationship with God's Spirit. And then finally, this will take, and if you're writing it, write it in caps, this will take all of us. This will take all of us. As I say, all y'all. This is going to take all of us. This will never work. This will never fly if it's me, Lisa, a couple leaders that are all in on this, and everyone else is, you know, that's for them. It's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. We have to all pitch in. We have to reach this tipping point where we get over the hump, where prophecy becomes normal and ordinary. For healing of the sick, you guys are just doing it. That we're listening to God's voice, not just on a Sunday, but we're actually living in the Spirit 7 days a week. It's going to take all of us. To end, turn back to 1 Corinthians 14, the last or the chapter 14, the first verse where we've started. Lisa, I'll invite you back up. Thank you. The first verse, which you've heard before, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Remember, we've said the gifts, sort of poorly translated, probably means the stuff of the Spirit, the things the Spirit does. But Paul writes, eagerly desire the things, the stuff of the Spirit, the stuff that Jesus did, the stuff that his followers did. And so again, we ask that final question, do you crave it? Do you desire it? Are you eager for it? Do you willing to sacrifice, to risk, to step out? And I believe that a lot of us are. Maybe not all of us, but I believe that a lot of us are. And I just want to say, as we prepare to close, I love you guys. And thank you. Thank you. Anita's on fire today. I love it. Amen. This has been fun the last couple of months that we've done this together. And I wasn't so sure. You know, this whole like summer schedule and moving over to focusing on the Holy Spirit, you know, I was a little, wait, we're going to get a little pushback, or we're going to start, this going to be weird. Like, you guys, I think, have pressed in. And we want to continue to press in to this life that God has for us. But either way, what I want you to know, whether you're ready or not, whether you do or don't, God wants this for you. God wants to give you more of His Spirit in your life. He wants to pour out His Spirit on you. He wants you to walk daily in God's Spirit. So you don't feel like you're alone. You don't feel like when you're trying to go through a difficulty in life that you're by yourself, you have to have the strength. No, He wants to put His Spirit in you and on you so that you can have more power in His presence and so that you can offer that to others as well. So just to close, I want us to pray. Let's stand up together. And we're going to do... we're going to pray in a different way. Lisa's going to lead us in a song or a part of a song, and I want you to sing it as a prayer. And then we're going to stop for a moment, and we won't tell you what to do. You'll do this once that's time. You're just going to go find somebody next to you and just spend a couple of minutes praying together that God's Spirit would move among us. That you would be open and receptive, that the person next to you would be open and receptive to what the Spirit has, that our church would be open and receptive, and that God would begin to move in this place. And then we'll come back and we'll sing again, and the song is Spirit Break Out. And so that wants to be our prayer, that God's Spirit would break out in this place. Not only in this place, but in this town, in this neighborhood, South Brunswick and North Brunswick, that God's power, God's presence would be here among us.